Lecture 44, The World at War.
Until December 1941, the war in Europe was a continental European war. A war was being fought in Asia, the Japanese against the Chinese. It would be in December of 1941, as we've seen, that these two conflicts would merge and become a world war, the Second World War. In this lecture, our 44th, we're going to examine these last years of the war, the major part of the war from 42, 43, 44 into 1945, the final victory in 1945, the war as a world global conflict. The Japanese attack in Southeast Asia and in the Pacific in 1941 had indeed transformed the nature of this war, making it a Second World War. 4 days after Pearl Harbor, as we've seen, Hitler had declared war on the United States. He solved Franklin Roosevelt's domestic problem for him. Americans were furious with the Japanese. People were racing off to enlist. There was a sense of outrage in the United States about this attack on Pearl Harbor, the day that would live in infamy. But none of this rage was directed as yet at Germany. Roosevelt and Churchill, their military staffs had already met. I'd already talked about contingencies, the likelihood. Roosevelt was absolutely convinced and had been for some time that the United States would inevitably be drawn into this war, the war in Europe. And British and American planners had already largely come to the conclusion that should war come in Europe and in Asia, that the number one priority would be the defeat of Nazi Germany. Nazi Germany posed the greatest threat to the existence of Britain, the security of the United States, and therefore victory over Nazi Germany would be given the top priority. There was a problem for Roosevelt in this, however, and that was that the United States was not at war with Germany. The Germans did not attack American vessels. There was no replay of the unrestricted submarine warfare that had drawn the United States into the First War. Hitler was adamant about this. His submarine commanders had pressed him for over a year to allow them to attack American shipping headed for Great Britain, that the United States was, in fact, really already in the war, supplying Britain. The Lend-Lease program would underscore that conviction. So German naval commanders, submarine commanders in particular, were chomping at the bit. They were ready to attack. The American ships headed across the Atlantic were sitting ducks, they argued. But Hitler did not want to draw the United States into the war. And it is not at all clear that the American population was ready to go to war with both Japan and Germany without some sort of overt German provocation. Well, 4 days after Pearl Harbor, as I said, Hitler solved Franklin Roosevelt's domestic problem for him. Hitler declared war on the United States. His army commanders, who at this point were in the midst of fighting off a ferocious Russian counterattack before Moscow, were utterly speechless, astonished, and depressed at the prospect now not only of fighting a Red Army that was far more tenacious and far stronger than the German intelligence estimates had led them to believe, but now also there was the potential, the military and economic potential of the United States to deal with. One has to point out at this juncture that in 1940, at the time of the fall of France, the United States Army was absolutely minuscule. There really wasn't any kind of military structure in the United States, a tiny peacetime army, an almost non-existent air force. The Navy was in relatively good shape, but the United States was not in 1941, in December of 41, an imposing military force at that juncture. It was potential. It was American military potential, American economic potential in the long run that had to be of concern. Hitler, on December 11th, 1941, decided to take a gamble. It was one of many gambles that Hitler had taken, and in the past, they had paid off. He'd been correct. His military had been wrong. The remilitarization of the Rhineland in 1936, the pressing of the Sudeten crisis at Munich until in 1938, and so on. And